the sepulcher. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen.
Amen.
He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. I want to speak this morning real quick on this thought. Christ is risen.
Amen.
Christ is risen. Indeed, amen.
Yes,
four things this morning that begin with the letter W that I want us to notice. First of all, let us notice the women who came. The Bible says again in verse 1 that it was Mary Magdalene. We think about Mary Magdalene, and she had at one time seven demons inside of her. They had possessed her. She was filled with misery, filled with sin. But Jesus met her one day, and he cast out the demons, and he made her whole and saved her soul. And she began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that she was there at the cross when Jesus died on the cross. And here she is now on that Easter, that very first Sunday morning, that first day of the week, she's on her way to the tomb to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was not necessarily alone. The Bible says there was Mary, the mother of James. We know this James was one of the disciples of Jesus. There were two disciples named James. This was James the Less. And then there was Salome, which was the mother of James and John. So there are three women, probably from Mark's vantage point. That's the three he noticed. But there's even more that would have been involved coming there to the tomb that day. They're coming to anoint the body of Jesus. They're filled with courage. They're filled with faith. The disciples are cowering in fear. They're away hiding behind locked doors. But not these women. They stepped out in faith, not worrying what was going to happen, but concerned as to how they're going to roll the stone away. So number one, there's the women, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll overcome all obstacles. The wonder that they saw. Think about it. Matthew's Gospel says there was an angel that descended from heaven. The Bible says He rolled the stone away from the tomb. And He didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out. Oh no, honey. He already got out. He came through those linen clothes. He walked through that stone, amen. He walked through that tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Matthew that there was a great earthquake. I mean, sovereignly, God sent an earthquake there. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that the keepers, there were 16 of them that surrounded the tomb that day. And when they saw the angel just appear shining and bright with the earthquake and rolled the stone away, they became as dead men. And the women walked upon this wonder, and they saw an angel sitting up on top of the stone there. And they looked, and they saw the keepers laying as dead men everywhere. They felt the earthquake. Can you imagine the wonder that they experienced? A sudden earthquake. A supernatural experience. The Bible says, verse 4, when they looked, the stone was rolled away. It was very great. The word in Greek is megos. I mean, the Holy Ghost is our writer. What's great to me may be a tombstone or something like that we see here. But that's small in comparison to the megos. What's megos? What is great to the Holy Ghost and what's great to me are two different things. Can you just imagine how great that stone was and how great it was blocking them from the truth? Aren't you glad when God rolls the hindering causes away and opens your eyes and allows you to see truth? Wow! Hallelujah! Amen! And when they looked inside that tomb that day, they saw the tomb was empty. Hallelujah, God. What a wonder that they saw that day. The Bible says in verse 5, when they looked in on the right side, they saw a young man sitting. He had a long white garment. Was it Jesus? Oh no, he's already gone. This is another angel. One seated up on top of the stone. One now seated inside the tomb, beside the place, near the place where Jesus had laid. Don't you know what a wonder they saw that day? Can you imagine the panic? Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine how they were surprised? Surprised! Can you imagine how they were startled? How they were shaken that day? What about that? The women who came. The wonder that they saw. Thirdly, the words that they heard. The man, the angel, the young man inside the tomb, he spoke. He said unto them, be not affrighted. That means, have no fear. To me, that's a message of peace. Amen. That these women are filled with fear. These women are filled with panic. What's going on? But I want to say this today. The message of the resurrection is still bringing peace today.
Thank you.
One night when I was in my sin, filled with misery and desperation, amen, knowing I was on my way to hell, I heard about Jesus who gave His life on the cross. I heard how they buried Him, and I heard how He got up on the first day of the week. If He can overcome those things, He can overcome my sin, amen. He died and was raised for my justification. Thank God today for the message of peace. Not only is it a message of peace, but it's a message of power. He says, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. Oh, it's a message of power. He's getting ready to say, oh yes, He gave His life for your sins. He's speaking about the past, which was. That's a past word, a word of the past. He was crucified. And they begin to think about how He was beaten, how He suffered, how He was chained, how He was bludgeoned, how He was crucified. It's a word from the past. But they said, which was crucified, He is risen. Woo! He is not here. Not only is He speaking of the past, but He speaks of the present. You've come here to the cemetery today, but I'm telling you, Jesus is not in the cemetery. He's alive. And He's on resurrection ground. Amen. Thank God for it. I like what they said in Luke. Why seek ye the living among the dead? There's no reason to go amongst the dead things in this world looking for Jesus. You want to look for Jesus, you need to look for Him in places that are alive. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. Not only does He speak of the past, and not only does He speak of the present, but He speaks of a promise. He says, go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There the week, after 3 days, I'm going to arise. He told them in Mark 8:31. He told them again in Mark 9:31-32. He told them again in Mark 10:33-34. I mean, there's three places. Time and time again, He told them He would be killed. But death, it's not the final word. Amen. Amen. Jesus has the final word. Thank God for it. Amen. He is not here. Come, see the place where the Lord lay.
Amen.
You can see where He's been, but He's not here anymore. He's alive and well. And He goes before you into Galilee. Amen. There you're going to see Him. Praise God for it. He says now, you ladies, you go your way. Tell His disciples and Peter. Oh, wait a minute, preacher there. Peter was a disciple. Why did he not say, and Thomas, or and John, or and James? Well, you remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter had failed the Lord. Jesus had told him, you'll deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll go with you all the way to the death. But we know what Peter did. He denied him. He denied him a second time. And the third time, he even began to curse, and his speech betrayed him, and then the cock crew. The Bible says that Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. The Lord knew when he looked at Simon Peter had failed the Lord. But Simon Peter repented, and he went out and he got right with God. I want to say to you today, you may have made the biggest mistake you could have ever made. You may have felt like a failure today. But honey, failure is not final unless you want it to be. With God, all things are possible. And he still includes Simon Peter amongst the disciples. In fact, our writer here, his name is John Mark. John Mark had went with Paul on a time of witnessing on a missionary trip. And when times got hard, and when fear came, panic set in, and he got scared, and he took off and left the missionary trip. He made his biggest blunder. He made his biggest mistake. But you know what happened? Barnabas came, began to deal with him, and encouraged him, and God forgave him. So here's John Mark, who had been a failure, who's been restored, talking about Peter, who'd been a failure, who the Lord's trying to restore. May I just say today, there may be somebody here amongst us today that you've made your biggest mistake you could have ever made. I mean, listen, I'm telling you today, God's still able to forgive you and restore you back into fellowship one with another. Amen. Thank God. Woo! Hallelujah for the blessing that our Lord can still give us. Amen. Not only is it a message of promise, but it's a message of proof. Look at the place. Behold the place where they laid him. They remember the place called Calvary where he gave his life. They remember the place called this borrowed tomb, amen, where Jesus arose. Now you look around this morning. Been a many a time I've stood in this cemetery feeling brokenhearted, feeling sorrow, tears running down my face. Been a many of you. You've got loved ones buried right here on this hill. I got a little brother buried over in Hendersonville. Breaks my heart when I think about it. And because of sin, death came. And when you go to a cemetery, you're feeling the curse of sin. But that morning, when Jesus arose, they're not feeling the curse. They're feeling comfort. You see, the tomb is strange. The tomb is for years, and he has had a steal, and the man got saved. And busted up his steel, started going to church, trying to witness to his family. He's doing all he could. What a loving man. What a testimony God had given him. And one day, on his way up in the hollers to go visit his family, he had a heart attack. Drove his car off to the side of the road, and he died. And there he was, slumped over the wheel. People riding by that day seen him, stopped, trying to help him. When they heard that he was on his way to see him and talk to him about Jesus, it broke their heart. The preacher said we had a funeral for him at our church. And he said one time he got up to testify. Couldn't believe it when our brother got testified a minute ago before we preached today. I thought, boy, I'm in the right hole right here. I know that for sure. We're going to die about it now. He taped his testimony, the preacher did, and he said, "Preacher, if something was ever happened to me, you tell my family I'm alive and well. In fact, you tell my family that though they think I'm dead, I'm more alive than I've ever been. I'm healthy now, and I'm doing better than I've ever been. You tell my family that." Well, the preacher recorded it, and at the funeral, he played that to the family. Man, when they got to thinking about how he was coming to see him and to tell him how he was going to be more alive than ever before. One got saved. Two got saved. Revival broke out. It went 7 weeks. 81 people in their community got saved when that man died. Honey, let me tell you, everybody that's ever been saved has gotten saved because Jesus died. Amen. The tomb does not stop the work of God. In fact, what was meant to be an ending, God used as a beginning. Amen. The tomb is usually a stopping place. I got to think of look around. The tomb is usually a silent place. I've come up here and put out flowers or picked up flowers But you don't expect when you come to the cemetery that you're going to talk to anybody. You expect it to be quiet. But when they got there to the tomb that day, the stone was rolled away, and an angel spoke to them and said, "Don't be affrighted. Fear ye not." I mean, there's an angel talking to them. And if I spent more time and read out of the book of Matthew, the Bible says as they began to leave, Jesus came and met them, and, well, here's a message for at His feet. They fell down at His feet, amen. Glory to God, and began to worship Him, and He spoke to them there that day. Honey, when you go to a cemetery, you don't think that the Lord's going to speak, but He's still speaking with victory over a tomb today. Amen. Usually, when you go to a tomb, it's a settled place. You don't expect any surprises in a graveyard. But listen, when they got there that day, surprise! The stone was rolled away. Surprise! There's an angel on top of the stone. Surprise! There's one sitting there near where He laid. Amen. Surprise! Jesus met them there that day. He's alive and well. They found the stone moved. The seal was marred. The soldiers mortified. And the Savior magnified. He's still alive today. The tomb is normally a somber place. It's a place of weeping, sorrow, tears. Typically you come sad, and I've left sadder. Should I get a witness? Amen. Have you ever come to the cemetery and you came in broken and you left more broken? You came in sad and you left sadder. You came in crying and you end up crying even more. But at this tomb, there's a reunion. They met Jesus that day. He that was dead is alive. Hallelujah to God. Amen. There's no sorrow there. Matthew's gospel said they left running, filled with great joy. When was the last time you left out of the cemetery and said, "Well, hallelujah. Thank God He's alive and well."
Yes,
that's exactly what needs to happen in the tomb. Amen. Because Jesus is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Well, fourthly, I'll preach long enough. Fourthly, there is the witness that they gave. The disciples said, "Go your way. Tell His disciples and Peter." That's a command to depart. Don't stay here. Don't linger. Have urgency. Get out and go. The Bible says, "And tell." It's a command to deliver the good news that Jesus is alive. He goeth before you. Yes, He does. He precedes us. He guides us. He's instructing us. He's leading us. Praise God. He's not following us. We are following Him. And not only does He precede us, but He presents Himself. "There shall ye see Him." The Bible says they went out quickly. You know what they did? They ran. Amen. Ran out of the tomb. Ran out of the graveyard. Ran out of the cemetery. Thank God for it. Amen. Woo! People that's alive can still run today.
Amen.
The Bible says they trembled. They were amazed. Listen to this. This bothered me. "Neither said they anything to any man." Preacher Darren, now they were told to go tell it, and they went out quickly. But the Bible said they didn't tell it. They didn't say anything to any man. Here's what I'm saying. They didn't go around and say, "How are you? Good to see you. How's the family?" And they didn't go out to buy any groceries. They didn't shuffle about, what I'm saying here. The Bible's trying to say this. They didn't spend time to linger. They said, "We have a message, and we are running forward to share the message that Jesus is alive." Did you get that? We don't have time to delay. We don't have time to shuffle about and go around and fellowship and talk. Listen, we got to get the running. We've got to tell people Jesus is alive.
Amen.
He's changed my life, and He can change your life as well. I got to thinking about a little boy who was at school. His name was Philip. He had a Down syndrome, and he made a lot of noises, and was always upsetting the classes, and they couldn't always focus. But back in them days, the little youngin, he was in there with everybody else, about 20-some other kids. And at spring break, the teacher told all of them to go take these great big eggs, said, "I want you to go home and bring back something for show and tell that indicates you understand that there's new life in spring." And so they went off on their spring break, and they came back, and there was 20-some eggs. And at time for show and tell, the teacher said, "Let's have a class, and let's go through these eggs." And they broke one open, and there was a leaf in there. And the little girl said, "That's mine. There were leaves, new life in the springtime." And the teacher said, "That's right. You're right." They opened another one. There was moss. The teacher said, "Moss." And, "Oh, yes, it's alive. My mama told me moss is growing and it's alive and it's breathing." And she said, "Well, that's true. You're right." And inside another one, they put blades of grass and flowers and blooms and just all kinds of things. And finally, she bent about 15 or 20 of the eggs, and she opened one, and it was empty. Nothing in it. So she put it aside and thought, "That must be Phillips." And he didn't understand the assignment. He didn't do his homework. But he's not going to be in trouble. I'll just go on and talk about the other eggs. And so she grabbed another egg, and Phillips said, "Wait a minute, Mrs. Thompson. Aren't you going to talk about my egg?" And she said, "Phillips, I didn't want to say anything, but you're supposed to put something inside the egg that represents new life." He said, "Jesus' tomb is empty." Well, hallelujah. Seems like one understood the assignment better than everybody else. We look to this world for new life. Springtime and Easter bunnies and candy and eggs and blades of grass and flowers and blooms and blossoms. And listen, that's okay. But the reason I'm here today is not because of flowers blooming and not because the Easter bunnies are hopping. I'm here today because the tomb is empty.
Amen.
Before they got much into May, after spring break was open, little Philip got double pneumonia, and they could not save him, and he died. And it broke the heart of his little classmates. And they tell me at his funeral, their lady's little casket up there in front of the entire, I'm getting tore up there in front of the entire church. And one by one, those children brought in their eggs, and they laid those empty eggs on top of that coffin. May I say, praise God, that little Philip lives again in heaven. He has new life, amen. And it's because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I stand here today. I stand here a wicked sinner. But I stand here today forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ because of an empty tomb. I want to bow my head. I want to thank Him, and I want to praise Him. Would you help me right now? Maybe if you want to bow and praise, just holler out to Him. Pray to Him. Seek His face. He alone is worthy. Father, this morning, as we bow, we give You praise, honor, and glory. I thank You for the suffering. I thank You for the shame, the humiliation. I thank You for the stripes. Lord, I thank You for salvation now, because not only did Jesus die, shedding His blood, giving His life, but on the first day of the week, Jesus arose. Woo! Hallelujah this morning, Father. I praise You. I love You. I honor You. I thank You for the new life You gave me, for forgiveness, for a clean slate, for a home in heaven, for the opportunity to hug my brother for all of eternity, to walk down the street of gold with Him, to spend my time before the feet of Jesus, to praise Him and to worship Him forever and forever. Lord, I thank You this morning that the tomb is still empty. God, may your hand be upon your people this day. May we leave this place rejoicing and giving you praise. For it's in Jesus' worthy name that we pray and ask. Amen.